They fly amazingly well. Do you know, they did a study at Harvard University. A scientist did a study with a dragonfly there. He had it captured in a cage. He fed it 30 flies. It ate all of them. And it would have eaten more, but he didn't have any more. So when you say they eat bugs, they are serious consumers of bugs. They eat lots and lots of bugs. And I had the sublime experience of walking up to a person's house one day with their mail in a package. I used to be a mailman. And a big blue darter, and I'll show you a picture of a blue darter, but a dragonfly almost 4 inches long landed on my wrist, and he had a deer fly. And he ate it right on my wrist. I stopped. I just stood there and watched. And he ate it all. He ate the whole fly. And then little pieces had fallen off the fly as he ate it, and they were on my arm, little like black pieces about the size of a piece of pepper. He bent down and he ate those too. He didn't bite me, but I have been bitten by dragonflies. It will surprise you, but it won't hurt you. Okay? It's a pinch, but it's not a hard pinch. It's just like, oh, he bit me. So play with dragonflies, examine them, and understand them and appreciate them, but don't worry about getting bit. They won't draw blood.
That is the voice of Northern Community Radio's resident phenologist, John Latimer. John was the guest speaker at an art camp hosted by Headwaters Music and Arts in downtown Bemidji during the very last week of summer vacation. I stopped by to see what was happening and was reminded how much fun learning can be when it's happening beyond the textbook, when it's creative, and when it's communal.
So this is a brief instruction of what is the life of a dragonfly. And we are at the far end with the adults right now. But what is happening underwater are the early nymph stages.
The babies.
First an egg, and then a little nymph, and then the nymph crawls out, and it comes out of its exuvia. That's what this is called. You want to see that again?
What dressing
was? Let me back that up, and we'll try that again.
It's coming out of its skin.
So, let's back up and go through it. There, it's just breaking out. You see the eyes? You see the fur? That's going to be on its sides and a little bit on its back. Okay, here's the next one. There, he's arching out. Whoa. Look at the little white lines up by his belly. You see them? He's hanging upside down now. His eyes are, his legs are out. There are his legs. You see those white lines?
Yep.
Those were the connections between the air holes in his body and the air holes in him now. Crawls up out of the lake bottom and finds a blade of grass and he hangs on. Then he comes up. Then he comes to there. And then he goes to there. You see his wings get bigger there?
Yeah.
Look at how they are there. Look at how they are right there.
Oh, he gets bigger.
Oh, wings are starting to swell, they're getting bigger, he's pumping the liquid in, suddenly they're full. He's pulled all that liquid back. Remember that hairy part I was telling you about? It's right there, right along here. So that's what happens to the...
Does it go back into his skin?
Nope. Now it's done with that part. That part, you can find those along lake shores, on brush. You'll see them, and they're split right down the back. Now if you capture a dragonfly and you want to hold it, you hold it by making a scissors with your fingers and putting its wings, you fold the wings up like this and grab it like that. And then you can look at it and not hurt it. If you grab it with your thumb and forefinger, oftentimes you might inadvertently move your fingers a little bit and you would crinkle their wings and render them not able to fly as well. So you want to think about doing as little damage to their wings as you can when you handle them. Now, I should tell you a little bit about the larva before we go on, because they're really amazing. They have, in here, underneath their chin, they have a jaw that they can extend one-third of their body length.
Really?
So if they're an inch long, they can stick it out a third of an inch. Now, those larvae have three different strategies for survival underwater. They are either stalkers, They walk very slowly, and they all have antennae. And the antennae are really tuned to vibrations in water, almost like sound waves. But if anything moves, it sets up a little vibration in the water, makes a wave. Those antennae will sense that, and the stalkers will very slowly, very cat-like, sneak up on their prey and capture them. Now there's another type that just lays on the bottom and kind of stirs around in the mud a little bit and waits for things to come by. And when they come too close, that bottom jaw shoots out, and the bottom jaw has teeth in it. It stabs the victim and pulls it back. And if you think this takes a while, it takes 1/100th of a second.
Really?
Very quick. It's like snapping your fingers, only quicker. So here is, this one is the calico pennant. I see you had a whole bunch of clay models back there. I don't know if you'll get to paint them, but this one would be one I'd want to try because it's got beautiful amber saddlebags and then these big dots here. And look at these. These are called stigma. And it has four red stigma. And then right down its back, can you see that? Four red hearts on a black tail?
Yeah.
Who would invent that? Dragonflies are so cool. I mean, when you start looking at them, the colors. There's the prince basket tail. He's a big one. Look at the size of that guy compared to that child's hand.
I've seen a lot of those.
They're pretty popular. Now, if you start to look at dragonflies to identify them, one of the first things you look at is how the eyes are arranged at the top of the head. Do they come together like those, or are they separated? And if they, that's like the first thing. So you want to figure out what a dragonfly is, you look at the eyes. You go, okay, it's in this group or it's in this group. They see a whole different spectrum than we see. To them, color is much different than what we see. And I can't even explain it except to say that for them, you know, things like infrared or the sky, there's certain ones that are concentrated in the upper part of the eye. The eye is 30,000 little facets. And they all are wired into the brain, and the brain makes an image out of 30,000 little pinpoints of light. Yeah?
Do you have a picture of what it would look like from a dragonfly's point of view?
Wouldn't that be amazing? But that would be astonishing.
That'd be cool.
That would be. And they're so adept at catching insects. When they target an insect to capture it, they're about 95% accurate. An eagle is about 10%. So 9 out of 10 attempts by an eagle results in failure. For a dragonfly, 95 out of 100 result in success. And part of that is that their head moves. Their head moves independent of their body. And so they not only have this amazing ability to fly with these four wings that allow them to hover, go backwards, go forward, up, down, whatever. They have this ability to turn their head so they get locked onto a target, and most often they come from below and they lock on the target and then they just fly and intercept. They're doing trigonometry in the air. They're figuring out if that fly's going that way at that speed, I've got to go here. Bang, they need lunch.
That is John Latimer, Northern Community Radio's resident phenologist. He brought the science of dragonflies into the recent art camp at Headwaters Music and Arts in downtown Bemidji. And it turns out, in this case anyway, passion breeds passion. After his presentation, which delved into the dragonfly life cycle and included lots of cool images of various kinds of dragonflies, well, the kids were pretty jazzed to get to work on their dragonfly-related projects. Diamond Nispel, who was one of the camp organizers, told me about all the cool things the kids were doing.
We've done basic drawing, and then they've done pottery where they made dragonfly mobiles. They're really cool, and the parts of the mobile that are hanging off are mostly bugs that the dragonfly would eat. Then they also are doing paper mache dragonflies, and they're working on those right now as we're doing field drawings up here. They've done stick stones and bits of bone with Jamie Lee. What Jamie Lee does artwork with pebbles on canvas, and so she did pebbles, canvas, bits of glass, and sticks, and all sorts of like little things to make cool collages upstairs. They're great.
I spoke with a couple of kids who thought it was a pretty great experience as well.
Aria, and I'm 9, but I'm going to be 10 this year.
Okay, what grade are you going into?
4th.
Okay. So what are some of the things that you've liked learning most?
I loved learning about the dragonflies, and I liked learning how to do some paper mache without a mold and making my own mold to do it.
Did you make a dragonfly?
Yes, out of paper mache, learning paper mache. And, yeah.
Okay. Azalea.
I'm 10, turning 11 really soon in November.
Okay.
I really like doing pottery. It's so fun.
What do you like about it?
Like feeling the clay on my hands and making, like, we made a dragonfly. It was really fun.
I'm Ellie, and I'm 11.
What's something that sticks out for you?
Clay isn't my best thing because I do not like the feeling of it when it dries on my hands. And I don't like paper mache because it smells bad.
What do you like?
I like painting and drawing.
Okay.
The little talk was fun.
Baron, I was just emailing with your dad. So what have you enjoyed this week?
I've enjoyed drawing. And earlier today, we made these like little dragonflies out of like different stones and rocks and like glass sets. The edges have been like cut down so they're not sharp.
Yeah, and you enjoyed that.
Yeah. My favorite part was, I think, doing the paper mache. I really enjoyed doing that. And I think after this, we're going to do more paper mache, which should be fun.
What do you guys like about creating?
I like creating. I've been a creative person since a long time ago.
Creative kids learning about science and nature and making original artwork around their newfound knowledge. That is a fun way to learn. Thanks to Headwaters Music and Arts for allowing me to be, well, a dragonfly on the wall during camp. And thanks to John Latimer for sharing his love of all things phonology with kids. I'm Katie Carter, listening to Area Voices on Northern Community Radio.